Biden will be able to do a certain amount to help renewable energy through executive actions. I'll just tick off a few of them. One is the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management. It's expected to start issuing construction permits for offshore wind projects. Those have been bottled up since August 9th, 2019. Look for Biden to order federal agencies to buy more renewable electricity. Look for the SEC and the federal bank regulators to require more robust disclosures about the potential effects of climate change on these companies' prospects. Biden is reviving a mandate for the federal agencies to take into account the full social cost of greenhouse gas emissions. And then, of course, he's told the world community that we plan to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord. These are all big steps. He has done by executive order. He also starts with a clean slate on environmental greenhouse gas emissions after the U.S. Appeals Court for the D.C. Circuit, rather, last week rejected the Trump position that the government is limited to tackling greenhouse gas emissions by doing things that can be done only on site at coal-fired power plants rather than a broader range of options that take place beyond the fence line. He can't just restore the clean power plan that Obama developed because the Supreme Court had struck that down. So it's a brand new slate. It takes time to pull together these environmental rules. I'm sure the Biden team starts with a pretty clear idea of what it wants to do here. So I said before, the big question is what sort of program Biden will be able to put through Congress. And it's a difficult environment. Neither political party is in a strong position. Pelosi in the House can afford to lose only 6 Democratic votes in the House. And she has a number of disaffected middle-of-the-road Democrats who are very angry with the way the Democrats tried to gain seats in the House during the November elections. And that includes people like Abigail Spanberger outside Richmond. These members will not necessarily fall in line with what the Democratic caucus wants to do. And then when you get over to the Senate side, it's split 50-50 with at least 2 Democrats from fossil fuel states, one of whom, Joe Manchin from West Virginia, is chairman of the Energy Committee, and the other is John Tester from Montana. McConnell does not have a strong hand either. If you think Schumer has trouble, McConnell doesn't have a strong hand because there are at least 3 Republicans, Murkowski, Collins, and Mitt Romney, who are not afraid to break with party ranks. So what happens in this sort of environment? First of all, the Senate's not even functioning well at the moment. They have to work out a power sharing agreement between Schumer and McConnell. They've been unable to do so far because McConnell is holding out for a commitment from the Democrats not to get rid of the filibuster that requires at least 60 votes to pass anything in the Senate. The last time the Senate was split 50-50 was when Tom Daschle and Trent Lott were heads. You'd think they could just pick up the agreement that was worked out then and tweak it a bit, but that just hasn't happened. In the meantime, ironically, some Republicans remain committee chairmen, even though the Democrats, with Kamala Harris's vote to break a tie, have control. The problem is Harris can't be in the Senate chamber all the time. And so you truly are left with just 50-50. This looks like a recipe for gridlock, save for one thing called budget reconciliation. Budget reconciliation has been distorted so that it's no longer recognizable from what was intended. This was part of a budget reforms in 1974 when Congress realized that every year as it drew up a budget, it simply asked itself whether X or Y spending was a good idea without ever looking at the whole and deciding what the limit was. And so from 74 forward, Congress has had a budget process where in theory, the budget committees come up with a budget resolution by April that sets a cap on total federal spending. And then the various committees go about their work. And at the end of the summer or September, Congress comes back and passes a reconciliation bill to try to squeeze what the various committees have done into the straitjacket of the budget cap set at the start of the year. That's not how it's used anymore. Now it's just used as a tool to get by the 60 votes required in the Senate. Generally, there's one budget resolution a year. The Republicans in the Senate and the Democrats in the House failed to pass a budget resolution last year. So in theory, the Democrats have three bites at the apple over the next 2 years, put through economic measures by a majority vote. They would have to pass a budget resolution, and then they would pull together a so-called reconciliation bill, which is basically their program, put that through. They can do a budget resolution for the fiscal year we're in currently that ends September 30. They can do another one this year for the next fiscal year that starts October 1, and they can do a third one next year. It's not as quick a process as what happened with passage of the Obama stimulus in February 2009, where Obama took office in late January, as Biden has, and by early February, you had, actually by mid-February, an American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, which was a big economic stimulus.